Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be preaching a sermon from the book of Philippians with a message entitled, All Things Through Christ. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing. nothing, yet I come. With your hand that once was nail-scarred just for me, touch me now and make me all that I should be. Restore my soul in the valley, that I might be worthy at last to stand with thee on the top of the mountain. In the valley, restore my soul.
I'm reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. Philippians chapter 4, the final half chapter of the letter. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves know also, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full, and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, and acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You will remember that last Sunday, as we came to Ephesians chapter 2, we entered into a portion of the New Testament which is referred to as the prison epistles. Four letters which Paul wrote from prison cells. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Prison epistles. Now, if we were strictly speaking, we could also add 2 Timothy to the prison epistles so that there are five of them. And if we were to cut across outside of the letters of Paul, if we were to go to John and others, we could add to that number. But Let's not tinker with what is commonly understood as the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul is not in comfortable circumstance as he writes. This is what I am endeavoring to underscore to you. His future is not perfectly clear. These letters were written from his first imprisonment in Rome, and he was released. 2 Timothy, that was written during his second imprisonment, which led to his execution, and that is a different matter. But here, Paul, he's unsure of what the future holds, and he yet writes with confidence, with joy, with looking to the future and concern for the believers in Christ. We came to Ephesians chapter 2, and we were especially pointing out that simply for someone to say, "I believe," well, what in the world do you believe? I believe that the ocean is blue and the sky is blue too. I believe that harvest typically comes in Canada in late August and in September. All kinds of things. I believe Ford is bad and that GM is good. I believe this, that, and the other thing. But for someone who comes and they say, "I am a follower of the one who bore his cross outside of Jerusalem to Calvary. I believe in him who called me to take up my cross and to follow after him." That is a different matter. And when someone says, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he bore upon Calvary's cross my sin, and that I have received of the grace of God and the gift of God," everything changes. For someone to come and to say, "I believe," and for them yet to dwell happily, gladly, contentedly in their sin, it is not found in the Bible. It is utterly of their own deluded thinking. And yes, you can quote me on that anywhere you wish. It is the devil's delusion that someone simply says, "Yes, I believe, and so I can do whatever I like," and they go on their merry way. In Philippians, the apostle, still in that jail cell, we hear of him speaking with confidence of what Christ has done for him, what Christ means to him, and what Christ also means to these dear Philippians. You will recall that it is in Acts chapter 16 we first read of how the Apostle Paul, in company with Silas, came to Philippi and there preached the good news of Jesus Christ. A woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, a demon-possessed girl, and also a Roman jailer, they were the first to be so impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul writes from a distance, surely thinking of that start, having ministered there and seeing others also take hold of the gospel and of coming to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul writes, and 16 times in these brief four chapters, Paul speaks of joy. He speaks of rejoicing in the Lord. 16 times, joy and rejoicing, and the various forms of that theme, they are held out for us to also rejoice in. But Paul, he is a double prisoner. He is not only a prisoner of the Roman authority of the first century. He is a bond servant as he begins the letter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus. So, in a prison cell, but even if he was on the other side of those doors, he would yet be a prisoner. He was yet a bondservant. He had been born free. There were millions of slaves within the first century Mediterranean world. But Paul, he had been born free and had never been enslaved, except when he came to that road that led to Damascus, and Jesus Christ appeared to him, and Paul became a bondservant of Jesus Christ, even as he begins so many of his letters. Doubly a prisoner. This also, as I say, that when someone comes and says, I believe, and everything changes, everything indeed does change, for we are surrendering ourselves, we lay down our lives into the hands of the one who has bought us, the one who has redeemed us, and we are his. Everything is different. And Paul, as he writes from this perspective. And so when we come to chapter 4 and verse 13, there's all kinds of things that we could do with this verse when Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Especially if we were humanly speaking and human-centered, if we were to dip into the writings of Paul and to say, look, I can do all things. You can do all things. You can do whatever you want to do. It is within your power to do anything that you want, to be anything you want. The context is vitally important. And the context begins with chapter 1, verse 1, and it doesn't end until the letter is done. Paul is a bondservant, not simply of Rome. He is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He has come to believe that Jesus is exactly who he declared himself to be, and everything is different as a result of that. And Paul, he writes to the Philippians of joy, though in chapter 3 he also writes some of the most direct and stern words that he ever did pen, such as verse 2 of chapter 3. He says, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. And here he's talking about those who had taken the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ and twisted and manipulated it and contorted it. And I will leave you to read the rest of that. Paul says, beware, beware in your joy of that which could take you down and cause horrible confusion and trouble in your spirit. But Paul, as he's coming to the conclusion of the letter, having written encouragement and blessing and strength, he says, look, I also rejoiced in the Lord greatly. He speaks of how that these Philippians had assisted him from a distance. And he says, look, it's not because there was a need in myself, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Paul, he is saying, I am Jesus Christ's own. He is watching over me. And that is better than to have the richest man in this world or the most powerful man in this world to watch over me. It is better to be in God's hands than to be in the most benevolent hands of human speaking. He says, verse 12, I know, I've learned and I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to get along in prosperity. And there are not very many who know how to do one or the other. Either man's ruin comes by having nothing or by having much. But Paul says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul says, this world, whether it's much or little, whether it's abundance or whether it's scraping the bottom of the barrel for anything that might be there, he says, this world does not matter. Paul says, I can do all things through him. Paul is eager that the Philippians and us understand that it wasn't him gathering up his energy and saying, well, I think I can pull up my socks and I think I can muster the strength to do what needs to be done. Paul says, no, no, it's through Christ, it is through him who strengthens me, that whatever he desires me to do, I can do. Paul is speaking not only as a bondservant of Rome, but he's speaking as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever God has called him to do, that God shall supply the need. A dear friend usually writes on the bottom of his emails, if God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. And I would add, and he will bring you out on the other side. If God brought you to it, he will bring you through it. Paul, he is saying, whatever God asks of me, I know that he will also provide to me the strength that is needed for those tasks. And I can do all those things which he is asking of me, because it is Jesus Christ who strengthens me. He says, look, I'm realistic enough to say it's good that you did share with me in my affliction. He talks to the Philippians about how that there had been a time where things were rather meager. He talks about Thessalonica. He talks to them about how that he doesn't ask simply for his own need and those of his party to be met, but he's concerned about those who give there in Philippi, that it might be accrued to their account. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your heavenly bank account. And verse 18 and 19, I have received everything in full. How is it that a man sitting in a Roman first century prison cell is able to say, I have received everything in full? Unless he was speaking of hardship and shipwreck and disaster upon disaster and wound upon wound. But he is looking to the spiritual, he is looking to the eternal, realizing that this world is passing away. I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And Paul not only speaks of himself back there in verse 13, now he looks to those who were at a distance from him, both geographically and in time, such as what we are. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Once again, the Apostle Paul, he says, look, this isn't a plan where we form a commune, and where there is lack over here, that we'll just shuffle some funds and some resources over here, and vice versa, if need be, at a different point in time. The Apostle Paul, he says, God, my God, not the God of the Romans or the God of the Greeks or of the Babylonians or the Egyptians. My God, the one who has watched over me and cared for me and loved me. The one who died upon Calvary's cross for me. This God, my God, He will supply your needs according to His riches. God who is rich, even as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in His kindness. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And Paul, I'm sure, was thinking that God would help these believers, even as God had helped Paul. Paul had previously, as the man Saul of Tarsus, been desperately concerned about the things of this world. But he had been transformed by the power of God. And Paul here is now eagerly desirous that these would also be changed. Paul says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What about you? Are you grasping? Are you reaching? Are you straining? Are you clutching and clawing? Or is your confidence in Jesus Christ, and that whatever He asks of you, whatever He allows to encounter you, whatever He allows to seemingly knock you back, wanting to knock you down, that God will supply the need for you each and every day. Lord, we give You thanks and praise for Your mercy. We give You thanks and praise for the testimony of a first century prisoner who could speak in such glad and joyous terms. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Lord, may it also be of us that we, in whatever situation, whether there is lack or whether there is an abundance, that we would speak in a very same way, that You will watch over Your own, that You, rich in mercy, out of Your abundant storehouse, will continue to provide and help and strengthen. Lord, for this we look, for Your gracious hand continually to work among us. Hear us and grant our request. These mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. We are pleased to announce a brand new music CD of 13 gospel songs under the title, Till the Storm Passes By. You will greatly enjoy hearing these solo and duets from both older, well-known songs like Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and newer songs like The Power of Your Love. Ask for your copy of this new CD, Till the Storm Passes by either calling us at 1-833-367-3852, or write us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. This new CD is sent free and postage paid and is yours simply upon your request. We leave you now with the benediction of the Apostle Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.